Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're doing the Gemara on Lamed Hey. Lamed Hey. Amud Beis and Brachas. Three lines down. Four line. One, two, three. Four lines down in the wide lines at the bottom of the daf. Gufa. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Shmuel. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Shemin Zayas. Mevorchin Olav. Bar Preitz. Hey Chidami. Ilayim Dekashasi Lei. Azuki Mazik Lei. Okay, if it means you drink it straight, so Gemara says that's a zuki mazikle. What exactly that means, we'll see in a minute. Desanya, because we learned in a Tosefta, Braisa, Hashos, Shemeshal Truma, Mishalam Esakaren, Ve'ina Mishalam Esachomesh. So the guy drinks Shemeshal Truma B'Shogeg, he pays the principal, Ve'ina Mishalam Esachomesh. So Rashi says, Hashosa Shemin Shel Truma Bishogeg. Once I go back, I'm sorry. Azuki Mazik Legufe Ve'ein Zu Achila Shituuna Bracha Degabi Bracha Vachaltaksiv Desanya Delav Barachila He. Right? So Gemara is going to show that it's not a considered Barachila. Because Hashos Hashem Shal Truma B'Shogeg Mishalma Zakaren Kishar Mazik Es Chavero B'Mamono. So he has to pay the Karen regardless, because simply he ate up the object. So it's just the regular din of Mazik Mamono. Ve'eim Mishalim Chomesh, but he won't pay the Chomesh, the penalty, the Knas of Chomesh. Why? The Gabi Chomesh Achilotziv. The ish ki yochal kodesh b'shkaga prat lamazik. So you only chayiv in the chomesh if it's considered nachila. Yeah, the pasuk is in Emor. So the pasuk says the ish ki yochal kodesh b'shkaga v'yasaf chamishi so alav v'nasen lakohen es hakodesh. Okay. Right. Yeah, this is the parsha of Truma. So it has to be ki yochal kodesh b'shkaga, and that's the Torah Shel Peh. Ki yochal, the Torah to me quotes the Gemara in Yuma. So the same thing is here. Prat lamazik. Okay. So what do you see from the? Oh, and let's just finish up. And then it says hasach. Shemin Shel Truma, Mishalma Sakarim, Mishalma Sachomesh. Okay? So what do you see from this Tosefta? What do you see from this Tosefta? That drinking Shemin Zayis is not considered really, it's not a Maisa of Hana. That's what it really means. The Gabi Chomesh Achiloksiv. See, what's Achila? Achila is a certain kind of performance of Hana. See, just like Sach. That's why you always have, like Achila and Sicha, often compared and brought together in the Gemara. Achila and Sicha. Because they're different forms of being a Nehne. And it's, of course, by Achila, it's the Hana's Goron. A certain kind of a very certain special kind of hana. So therefore, that's why you don't pay the chomesh, because it's not considered a maisa hana, and the Torah specifically only penalized you, gave the knas of chomesh, if you engage in a maisa achila, that is in a maisa hana. Right, so therefore, that's what the Gemara is saying. Okay, back to the beginning now. Right, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shemin Zayis Brachal Bar Preitz. Hey Chidami, what's the case? Ilein Dekashasi Lei Azuki Mazik Lei. See, Azuki Mazik Lei does not mean that it causes you damage. It doesn't mean it causes you some kind of real damage. What it means is it's totally bereft of any hana. It's not considered a mice of hana. That's the Gemara says. Rashi Azuki Mazik Legufe, he means to say that it's a unpleasant experience. The Einzu Achila Shetuna Bracha. The Gabi Bracha Vachalta Ksiv means it's an unpleasant experience. There's no hana. It's an unpleasant experience. Because there's a Gemara on Lamed Vav where the Gemara says, three lines down on Lamed Vav, the Gemara says, Aval Kimcha Desa'ari. So you make Kemach. Oat flour. Hol v'kasha l'kukiyani lo livracha le'aklal kamash v'lon kevin de islei hanomi nei boi bruche. So kasha l'kukiyani means it's really unhealthy. It introduces like worms into your stomach. So the Gemara's conclusion is that, but who cares? Whether or not it's healthy or not, that's not a criteria whether you make a bracha. So you see, the Gemara is not really worried about a zuki mazikle in real, you know, medical physical terms. So over here, let's tell me, you can be complete steerers in Gemaras, and the Gemara doesn't notice it. So zuki mazikle here, the Gemara can't mean literally. It's mazikle. Means mazik means it's a completely unpleasant experience. It's mazik. It's an experience where there's it's totally removed from any kind of hana. That's what it means. It's mazik way. It's a horrible experience, swallowing down the oil straight. But Rashi, by the case of kashal kukiyani, when the Gemara says disle hana, Rashi says disle hana ba achila. There's the ma'is achila. It's a pleasurable experience. He gets hana. He has hana's garam. Aye, what happens afterwards? It's not good for. It's not a healthy thing. He can get some kind of worms. Introduce worms into his stomach, which is of course not a good thing. Yeah, but okay. That's apart from the ma'is achila. So over here, you see the Gemara is saying the kashasle azuki mazikle means in the very ma'is achila itself. It's simply not considered a ma'is achila. Yeah, chomesh. This little side point here. But chomesh in halacha is an interesting thing, because let's assume you ate $100 worth of truma, b'shogeg, okay, improperly. Right, so you chayev in the keren and the chomesh. Right, now the question is, how much should that be? So most people figure, well, it's $100, and then the chomesh, right, is 20%, right, one fifth. So now, that's how most people think when you tell them that the Torah says yichayev in keren and chomesh. So most people think it's going to be 120. But that's not the halacha. The halacha is it's 125. That's the halacha of Chomesh. Right. Because, yeah. So it's, just the facts are, of course, how does it get to 125? Oh, because now when you have 125, so 25 is one-fifth of that total. You see? I'm not just showing you, I'm just telling you what the facts are. I mean, it's not like crazy math. It's that it's weird. But the question is, what kind of concept is that? And there's, why isn't it the normal idea? Right? Right? In the regular world, you said, okay, this thing costs $100 and we're tacking on a 20% penalty, you would add $20 to it. And now you pay the guy $120. But Allah says, no. It's a different kind of idea of a fifth. Different idea of a chomesh. Becomes 125. I think about it. You want to think about it? It's a nice problem to think about. In other words, factually, the idea of a fifth, the chomesh in halacha is that whatever keren you destroyed or consumed, okay, now when you add the chomesh, it has to be that the chomesh is one fifth of the total payment. So I don't care, I'm using 100 just to make it easy. Okay? If it was 200, so you wouldn't give 40, you'd have to give an extra 50. So this way your chomesh is one fifth of the total amount of 250. But the question is, what kind of concept? There's obviously two ideas, two ways to understand a penalty of 20%. I mean, not 20%, I take that back. A penalty of a fifth. Okay? A penalty of a fifth. Okay? There's two ideas. So the question is, what are those two ideas, and why does the, and what is the halachas concept? That it should be a chomesh of the total. Yeah. Also, the Rambam in Hilchos Trumos, Perek Yud Halacha Ches, says, Haya Saveya, Vikatz Bimizono, Vahosef Al Savo, Bachilas Truma, Eina Mishalem Esachomesh, Shinema, Ki Yochal, Lo Shiyazik Atzmo. Ah, so you see, if you have Achilas Gasa, that's also, the Rambam considers that Mazik Atzmo. See? It doesn't mean like you're causing yourself damage. It means it's considered to be a non-hana experience. It's a different idea. Yeah, v'chein ha-koseis es ha-seorim, potter min ha-chomesh, m'nei she-hezik atzma. All right, we'll get to that soon. We'll go back there. Okay, so that's what you see. You see anyhow that the halacha of, I mean, achilas gasa is not mazik atzmo, and you know, that you're causing yourself damage. It just means it's not considered a mais hana. All right, so we'll leave the problem of the formulation of the chomesh according to halacha till another time, maybe next week, as you guys can think about it. Okay, so let's continue in the sugya. All right, so Gemara says, so it can't be that it's an achila of shemen be'en, of pure shemen. Okay, so now the Gemara says, ela de ka'achale al yedei pas. You eat it with pas. Ihachi havile pas ikar vehu tafel. Utnan zehaklal kolshu ikar vimo tfela mevarechala ikar vapoter es atfela. So Gemara says, no, that won't work. Because if you're eating with pas, if you're smearing the oil or dipping the bread in the oil, then the pas is going to be ikar, and this is going to be tafel, and the rule is kol shu ikar vimo tfela mevarachal ikar potos atfela. Okay, how would you explain that rule? Be nice, just I would like to understand basically how does the, what's the rule of ikar v'tafel? How do you understand that? So what we mean by ikar tafel is that when something is tafel, insofar as the achila is concerned, it has no separate identity. It's considered an accident of the other substance. So therefore, you're not eating ketchup. You're eating hamburger. You see? That's what you're saying. When you say that the ketchup is tofel to the hamburger, it means it does not exist as a separate substance. It doesn't have its own identity. It's simply an accident of the hamburger itself, and therefore the bracha can only be related to the hamburger. That's what we're saying. That's the idea of ikar v'tafel. I mean, right now I would say as a basic idea that would be true of all ikar v'tafel. Now we'll see how do you determine, in other words, how you determine if something is accidental or not, in other words, whether it's an ikar or a tafel, that might be a machlokas, you know, amongst the Rishonim and Poskim. But as a general concept, that's the correct concept, I think. Tio, you can't ask now, why do you make a bracha on something that's primary and something that's not accidental? Because if it's accidental, it means it doesn't have an identity. That's what you're saying. There is no separate cheftza of ketchup anymore. You can't make a bracha on it. the brachas, the only substance, the only identity you have is hamburger. That's what we're saying. So that kasha is no kasha anymore. Can't ask why don't we make a bracha on an accident? Because the answer is you're making a bracha on a substance, and therefore the accident does not have a separate identity. Like logically, it would be like saying you have a blue table, and now you spread over a tablecloth on it. So you wouldn't say I'm spreading a tablecloth over the blue, over blue. I'm spreading a tablecloth over a table. The table happens to be a blue table, but I'm not spreading it over a substance called blue. There is no identity like that as a separate existence. It's just simply there's a table that happens to be blue. The tablecloth is put on the table. It's related to the table. It's not the pshat and accident. It's just not essential. That's descriptive. Accidental means that it's an accident of a substance. There is a substance, and this is an accident of it. And therefore, there is no, the halacha cannot recognize the ketchup at this point. You're not relating to the ketchup as an essence. You're relating to it as an accident, which means it has no identity. The only identity is the hamburger. It's an accident of the hamburger. By the way, I should mention, I mean, I don't want to get involved, lost in logics here, but in the world of halacha and foods, you can't have like a universal accident. Okay? You can't have such an idea like that. As opposed to like, I believe, it's been a long time, but like something like color, blueness is by definition a universal accident. Okay, if I'm wrong about that, I apologize, but I think I'm right. But you can't have that in halacha. It's not possible. Because in the halacha, it's always going to be determined by what the guy, well, we'll define this a little better, but it's going to go by what he wants, what his intent is. And say, what is he eating? If a guy decides he wants to sit down and eat a plate of ketchup, no, and a chanami is going to make a adama. You know what I mean? But you don't have a universal idea. Depends on what the nature of the maisa achila is. Okay. It says, Ella, the kashasi le al yedei anigron. So the Gemara says, no, so it can't be al yedei pas. So it must be al yedei anigron. So what does it mean, al yedei anigron? Rashi says, min meichel ho, v'nosin l'socho shemen, v'shonu b'mishna b'kama makamos. So it's a type of food, and you put shemen into it. Okay, and now the Gemara is going to explain what it is. D'amar Rabba bar Shmuel, anigron maya d'silka. Anigron is water that beets were cooked in it. On Sigron, Maya de Chulo Shalki. And on Sigron is the waters of any Yerek that was, cooked in it. Or, or steeped in it. All right? Yerash says, Maya de Silka, Maya Shashalko Behen Trodden. Okay? So it's like a beet water. May Silka. Okay? So the Gemara says, that's the case. So you put the Shema and Zayas into the Anigron. So the Gemara says, not so fast. Im kain, havale anigron ikar v'shemen tafel. Gemara says, no, then the anigron will still be the ikar, and the shemen will be tafel. Utnan, zehaklal, kol shu ikar v'imot feila mevarech ala ikar poter esat feila. Okay? So once again, it will violate the klal. Right? So right away, I mean, you have a problem here. Because if this is exactly analogous to the previous case, then why did the Gemara go through the motion again? I mean, it already knows the rule of Ikar and Tefela. It already knocked it off with Pas. You see? So if it's exactly like a similar case of like Pas, a similar concept, I mean, why does the Gemara have to do this again? Elamai, you'll say it must be different. How's it different? Right? Like at this point, you just don't know. It's like very funny. The Gemara came up with this case, then knocks it off with the same rule of Ikar and Tafel. Well, what happened here? Okay? So the tip-off, I think, unless somebody maybe could show me what the tip-off is, you know, Minei Ubei, from the very case, I don't see what it is. But the tip-off to me is the next statement. When the Gemara says, Hacha b'maya skinan. So what are we talking about here? In other words, when is it that you do make a Bari Priya Eitz on Shemen Zayas? So the Gemara says, B'choshish b'grono. When you have a sore throat. So Rashi says, Hachoshish b'grono, V'tzorach lases bo Shemen harbe, Dahavile Shemen ikra v'anigron tafel. That's the answer. So from that you could deduce what the previous case was when the anigron was zikr. Namely, the anigron was the harbe. Right? So now, of course, that will tell us, now we, of course, we could define why the Gemara had to go through the motion of another ikr and tafel. Right? You guys want to tell me? You guys could tell me, I'm sure. The question is, why does the Gemara have to give two cases of Ikar and Tafel? The Gemara already knocked off that Ikar and Tafel knocks off ever making a bracha on the Shem and Zayas. Okay, so what do you have to go through the Anigran case for? That's another case of an Ikar and Tafel, of course. But I think there is a good reason why the Gemara has to give two cases. Yes, yeah, so the answer is that there's two kinds of two ways to determine Ikar and Tafel. Sometimes Ikar V'Tafel is determined qualitatively, in a qualitative manner. Okay? Like Pas. Pas is always qualitatively the Ikar. Everything else is considered a lift-on. It's considered an accompaniment to the Pas. Okay? With, of course, some exceptions, but in general, most foods are considered a lift-on to the Pas. In fact, Rashi used that term, they are Pas, Mishum lift-on. Okay? But then you can have a different kind of Ikar Tafel. That the Ikar Tafel, really, there's nothing qualitatively superior or different about one food to the other in their relationship. But it just simply is a question of quantity. That the quantity determines what is considered to be the real Achila. And that the rest of the foods are considered to be accidental to the larger quantity, and therefore they lose their identity in a quantitative fashion, and that's the case of anigron. So that's why the Gemara then says bechoshesh begrono, and Rashi says yeah, because in choshesh begrono, since you're interested in healing your throat, so therefore you're going to go rove shemen. You're going to put in a lot of shemen harbe. You see. So therefore, that will become the ikar in that case. Okay? So that's the two kinds of, so far, that's the two kinds of ikar v'tafel that you have. Okay? And that, of course, that halacha is an important halacha. Let's say you're eating, you have a mix, a salad of some kind, I don't know, maybe not salad, whatever. You have cantaloupe and oranges mixed in a bowl. So what bracha do you make? So the answer is, you go by the rove. Whatever the rove is. Or if you have, let's say, even a multiple minim. So if the majority is ha'eitz, then it's ha'eitz. If the majority is ha'dama, it's ha'dama. That's a quantitative ikar v'tafel. Okay. But of course, by mizonos and pas, that's a whole different equation. That is evaluated on qualitative lines, as we'll see when we do the sugya on mizonos. But that breaks down on qualitative lines. Makes no difference if you have five pieces of steak. If you're eating it with bread, that's it. Bread's the hamotzi, and that's it. Okay. Sounds like the Gemara's havamina was that even though it's quantitative, but since you're drinking the anigron because you want to drink shemen, in other words, your intent is shemen, it sounds like your intent should define what is the ikar. In other words, when you're not dealing with qualitative, with a qualitative factor like pas, so now all things are equal. All these substances are equal in a qualitative sense. Now the question is, what should you go by? Do you go by intent, you see, or do you go by quantity? I'm learning like Rashi now. So Rashi, the Havamina, would have been that the Iker is defined by the intent of the Gavra. But the Maskana is that no, you still go by quantity. Even though the real purpose of the guy eating this is for the Shemen, it makes no difference. So that's why the Gemara has to jump according to Rashi to a case of Choshesh Begrono, which Rashi learns means it's Shemen Harbe. You know what I mean? It's a Hechi Timtza of that all of a sudden you have Shemen Harbe. That seems how Rashi's learning the sugya. I'm not saying all the Rishonim learn that way, but that seems to be the way Rashi's learning. Yeah, we're learning this Gemara, of course, according to Rashi. I mean, you'll see in certain Rishonim, like Rabbeinu Yonah, they learn the very idea of Choshesh Begrono means that's the idea of intent right there. So then, of course, the Havamina is going to be different. But Rashi's not learning that way. Rashi learns a Choshesh Begrono means that Tzarech Laseitz Bo Shemen Harbe. The Havile Shem Iker Vanigran Tafel. So you see, Rashi has it in a quantitative idea. It's a quantitative idea there, Achoshesh Begrono. Achoshesh Begrono turns out to be like a Hechi Timsi, like when would your person, according to Rashi, normally a person would only put a minority of Shemen. That's the way, that's like the optimal way of drinking a Nigron. Or drinking Shemen with Anigron. But if you Choshesh Begrono, so you'd put in more oil, even though it's not the optimal drinking, meaning from a taste perspective, but it's still okay. It's still, I guess, tolerable. It doesn't become a Zuki Mazigle at that point. You see? But normally a person wouldn't do that. So it's like it's just really a Hechi Timsi. It's not a real halachic idea, whereas according to other Rishonim, I think a Choshesh Begrono is a real halachic idea because it means intent. The Gavra's intent now is for the Shemen, and that's what makes it the Iker. Okay? But we'll stick with Rashi for the meantime.